The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Everyone will have to give an account of their life. And listen, the big issue in this final day is not a sin issue as much as it is a son issue, S-O-N.
Pastor Greg Laurie says eternity rests on whether we accept Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. It's not based on anything else.
We have to put to bed once and for all that if you do enough good works, you will get to heaven. It's not true. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Period.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some people seem to rest their entire hope of heaven on the golden rule: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Or they hope God grades on a curve, thinking, surely they're a better person than their neighbor. We've all heard people say things like that, but Jesus never said anything like that would get us to heaven. Today on A New Beginning, in one of the year's most requested studies, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us what Jesus did say about the true path to heaven's reward. This is life and death information.
I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 16, and the title of my message is The Reality of Hell, given by Christ Himself. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Then Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all of this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed, so those that want to pass from here to there cannot, and you cannot pass over to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may testify to them that they will not come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No, Father Abraham, he says, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So what do we learn from this story? Number one, we discover that people in hell suffer. The fact that this man spoke of torment indicates suffering is a very real thing in the hereafter. In fact, the word torment is used four times in the text of this story. People in hell are fully conscious and they are in pain. It doesn't say that this man went to purgatory. There is no such thing as purgatory. Nor was he reincarnated as a higher or a lower life form. Once you pass from this life, you pass into eternity, into either heaven or hell. This man was in hell. Number two, once you are in hell, you cannot cross over to heaven. You know, sometimes people will say, well, when I get up, you know, before God, I've got the gift of gab and me and the men upstairs will sort this out. You know what? It'll be too late for that. Once you are in eternity, there's no changing things. Now, there's changing those things now. There are no chances after death, but thousands before. But once you've passed over, it's too late. It's appointed unto a man once to die, the Bible says, and then comes the judgment. Physical death is a separation of the soul from the body and constitutes a transition from the visible world to the invisible world. For the believer, it's entrance into paradise in the presence of Jesus. For the non-believer, it marks his entrance into Hades. Physical death is not the end of existence, but only a change in the state of existence. Bringing us to point number three, when you're in hell, you're conscious and fully aware of where you are. You're also aware of where you were. Now, we pointed this out when we looked at heaven, that in heaven, you will still be you. You will still know what you knew on earth, but far more. You'll be aware of where you came from, and you'll be aware of where you are. In the same way in hell, you'll be aware of where you came from and where you are. As this man is, as he talks about his five brothers in verse 28. I have five brothers, he says. And someone needs to testify to them so they don't come to this place of torment. In a way, this man was blame shifting. Hey, I didn't know about this. No one warned me about this. Abraham corrects him in verse 29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the man says, well, no, someone needs to go back from the dead. Then they'll believe. Really? Well, actually, a man did come back from the dead. His name was Lazarus. Not the same Lazarus in this story. But you remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And we read about a time where they were all together having a meal. There was Jesus and Lazarus, and Mary and Martha. I wish I could have been at that party. What a conversation. So Lazarus, what was it like? What happened? You know, how do you feel right now? But you know, the religious leaders were plotting on how they might kill Lazarus because he was living evidence of the power of God. Lazarus was a resurrection man. You would think that everyone who met him would say, I believe, I remember you were dead, you're alive again, I believe. People didn't believe, some did, but many did not. And then more to the point, Jesus Christ himself rose again from the dead. He was seen here, he was seen there, he was seen by 500 people at one time. Did everyone believe? No. So even if a man were raised from the dead, people would not believe. That point is made here in the text. So this is what happens now to a non-believer. They go to this place of torment, but this is not the end. There is still a judgment yet to come, known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, in our last message on heaven, we talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Remember? The believers will stand before where rewards are given out and so forth. This judgment we're about to read about is different from that. This is the final judgment for non-believers only. Let's read about it together. If you would, go to Revelation 20. If you don't know where that is, just hang a right and keep going. Revelation 20. This is now a description of the final judgment. Starting in verse 11 of Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. You might underline or circle the word books. And another book was open. Notice that's singular. You might underline that word as well. Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and hell, which we're reading about right now, delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment. Who will be there? Answer, everyone who has rejected God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Notice that there are no exceptions. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. The fact that a person may have been a king or a queen or an emperor or a president or a prime minister or a rock star or a billionaire or an actor, it doesn't matter. Everyone's equal. Okay, now you have to stand before God and give an account of your life. Actor Robert De Niro, was asked the question, if there are pearly gates and you stand before God one day, what will you say to God? De Niro's response was, I will say to God, and if heaven exists, he has a lot of explaining to do. No, I don't think so. I think Robert De Niro will have a lot of explaining to do. And I don't mean to pick on him. Any person standing before God, you almost wonder if the Lord will look at De Niro and say, what are you looking at me? I doubt it. That's a quote from a De Niro movie, by the way. But the point is everyone will have to give an account of their life. And listen, the big issue in this final day is not a sin issue as much as it is a son issue, S-O-N. Because everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to put to bed once and for all this concept that sometimes even Christians believe that if you do enough good works, you will get to heaven. It's not true. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Period. That's it. Because no one is good enough, you see.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We enjoy hearing when Pastor Greg's teachings on the radio touch lives.
Hi, my name is Philip, and I live in Chicago. I listen to Pastor Greg on 1160 AM. Well, back in 2016, I went through a very dark period in my life. It got so bad that I didn't even want to listen to the radio anymore, so I would drive to work in the morning just in total silence. One day I turned on the radio and it just started flipping channels, and it just so happened that Pastor Greg's show came on and I started listening to it. It gave me hope. It gave me strength. It brought me back to the Lord, and I started going to church, and I still listen to him in the morning. It gets me from my front door of my house to the front door of work. I'm a Harvest partner, and it's just been a total joy, and I actually enjoy going to church. I enjoy listening to Pastor Greg. I like his insightfulness. I like his humor, and it's just been a blessing at a time in my life where I needed some intercession. I believe God sent Pastor Greg into my life, so thank you very much.
What an encouraging story. How have these daily studies ministered to you and your family? Would you let us know? Tell us your story by calling 866-871-1144. That's a special number, 866-871-1144.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is presenting a look at the reality of judgment beyond the grave and how we can avoid it. It's one of this past year's most requested studies. You can get a copy at harvest.org. Pastor Greg continues now.
So why is a person at this great white throne judgment? Answer, they're there because they did not believe in Jesus. John 3:18, he that believes in me is not condemned, but he that does not believe in me is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If the non-believer is already condemned, then what is the purpose of the last judgment? This is a very important question. The purpose of the final confrontation between God and man is to clearly demonstrate to the non-believer why he is already condemned. Because there might be someone that would say, I never knew about this. The books are open, verse 12. Notice it's more than one. Books. What are these books? We don't know for certain. But one of them may be a book of God's law. Everyone who has been exposed to the truth of God's law is held responsible. Romans 3:19 says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. I bring this up because some people will say, well, you know, I don't need Jesus Christ. I live by the Ten Commandments. That's just such a joke. You do not. Well, I do too. Really? Let's start by asking if you can name the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt recycle? No. Have you broken any of them? Well, you know, I don't know. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? And by the way, that means use the Lord's name in an empty and insincere or frivolous way. Well, no. Really? Okay. Have you ever stolen anything? No. Have you ever lied? No. You're lying now. Okay, you're lying. And if you want to live by the law, you're in for trouble, because the Bible says if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. The law was never given to make a man or a woman righteous. The law is a moral mirror that shows us our real state before God to drive us into the open arms of Jesus. The law says, you're not good enough, you need God's help. So the law was not given to make you righteous. Maybe one of these books would be the law, showing you've fallen short of it. Number two, maybe another book would be a record of everything you've said or done. Everything is recorded today. Everywhere we go, it's being recorded. You can run a light today and a camera will take your picture, and there's no getting out of that ticket. And then everybody has video cameras and cameras on their phones today, and everything's being recorded wherever you go. If you think that mankind can do this, don't you think the creator of the universe has some pretty tricked out and sophisticated recording equipment? You can be sure of it, because the Bible tells us that everything that we do, whether it be good or bad, is recorded, and we will be judged for it. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Every idle word, the Bible says, a man speaks, he'll give an account of on the day of judgment. Maybe another one of these books would be a record of the fact that you didn't live up to your own standards. This is for the person that says, well, I don't need organized religion. I live by my own rules, my own values. I suggest to you, you don't even live by your own rules. I suggest you even break those. Another book or scroll might be a record of every time you've heard the gospel. Because no doubt there would be some, like this man in our story in Luke 16, that would say, I never heard about Jesus. No one ever told me Jesus was the only way to the Father. And so the Lord might say, all right, Gabriel, roll him. Big screen. This is your life, you know. A record of every time you heard the gospel, and then you discover it wasn't once, it wasn't twice, it was hundreds of times you heard it and blew it off and rejected it and were preoccupied or weren't paying attention or whatever it was. You are responsible for what you've heard. The Bible says if your name is not found written in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I know some people say, oh, that's just not right. You know, how could a God of love create a place called hell? Listen, because he's a God of love, he created a place called hell. It makes complete sense. Because there are injustices in this life. There are wrongs that are done. People get away with things they should never get away with. And they escape the long arm of the law, so to speak, but they'll never escape the long arm of God. There is a final court of arbitration. And quite frankly, there are certain people we say, I'm glad there's a hell because of, you know, there will be judgment. Yeah, there is a hell. But listen, hell was not made for people. Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was never God's intention to send a person to hell. He does everything he can to keep you out of hell, but God has given to you and to me a free will. I have the ability to choose, and God will not violate that. If you want to go to heaven, my friend, you will, if you put your faith in Christ. If you want to go to hell, you will. That's really your choice. J.I. Packer writes, and I quote, Scripture sees hell as self-chosen. Hell appears as God's gesture of respect for human choice. All receive what they actually choose, either to be with God forever, worshiping Him, or without God forever, worshiping themselves. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, Thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, Thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. Timothy Keller said, and I quote, People only get in the afterlife what they most wanted, either to have God as Savior and Master or to be their own Saviors and Masters. Hell is simply one's freely chosen path going on forever. Hell is simply one's freely chosen path going on forever. That's what you want, that's what you get. You want heaven, that's what you get. It's your choice. So don't blame God. Oh, God sent people. God didn't send anyone anywhere. God wants you to go to heaven, but he's not going to force you. He gives you a choice, and it's up to you what you're going to do with that choice. Oh, I'm sure people will protest in that final day and say, Oh, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will sadly but firmly say, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. It's not enough to just say you believe in God. These people sound religious. Did we not do miracles in your name? You know, some might say, wait, didn't I go to church on Sunday? And wait, I received communion. And wait, I was baptized. And yeah, okay. Jesus says, but I never knew you. We never had a relationship. It was just a thing you did. And then he went out and broke my commandments left and right with no concern. This is your own choice that you're facing. Yes, there are people that are outside the kingdom of God. It's not enough to just acknowledge God exists. You need to turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone as Savior and Lord. You know, nobody likes to preach on hell, and if they do, they're a little twisted. It was hard for me to write this message. It's not a fun message for me to deliver, but if I don't tell you these things, I'm not giving you the whole gospel truth. If I only talk about heaven and I don't talk about hell, I'm doing you all a disservice. But I hope that something like this will make you want to redouble your efforts to reach people with the gospel, because the Bible says, some save with fear, hating the very garment that is spotted by the flesh. And here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't warn people about hell because we don't want to offend them. We'll just talk about the glories of walking with Christ. He gives us peace and joy and purpose. And a person blows us off and says, well, I don't need that peace and purpose. I'm pretty happy as I am. Okay, well, that's fine. Thanks. No, wait, hold on. I have to tell you something. There's hell. And if you reject Christ, you will go to hell. Well, no, you can't say that to me. Well, sorry, I just said it. How could a God of love send it? You know, then answer that. And say, actually, God poured all of his judgment on Jesus 2,000 years ago at the cross so you would not have to go to a place called hell. And he'll forgive you of every wrong you've ever done if you'll turn to him right now. See, sometimes people need to just be told, you're going to hell. And you better stop what you're doing or you'll end up there. And God offers you pardon and forgiveness. We got to be direct with people, because that's the full message of the gospel. Gospel means good news, and I can't fully appreciate the good news until I first know the bad news. And the bad news is I'm separated from God and I am headed to judgment. The good news is Christ paid the price for my sin, and if I'll turn to him, I can be forgiven and go to heaven. So, in closing, there might be someone here listening to me right now that is afraid they will go to hell when they die. Well, I'm telling you right now, you can get rid of that fear today by putting your faith in Christ. If you'll turn from your sin and believe in him, you can know with assurance you will go to heaven when you die. If you don't have that assurance right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your eternal address from a place called hell to a place called heaven as we pray. Let's all bow our heads if you would. Father, I pray now for any here that may not yet know you, people who literally are headed for destruction. Lord, help them to see their need. Help them to change your direction. Help them to come to Jesus now, we pray. Amen.
And if you'd like to follow through and ask Jesus to forgive you today, Pastor Greg Laurie will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Now, a permanent copy of this candid message is available. It's called The Reality of Hell. It's one of the most requested messages of the past year, and we'd be glad to send it your way. Let us help you by calling 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. And then we're eager to send you the new book by Pastor Greg called Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. It's a spiritual biography of the man in black.
I think he's just iconic. He started out with Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins, produced by Sam Phillips.
But it wasn't just his music that made headlines. He was known for his troubled times as well.
Sinners thought Johnny was a saint, and saints thought Johnny was a sinner. And the reality is, he was both.
God's been patient with me. And I know that I'm talking to somebody right now that can relate to someone like Johnny Cash. They know it's right. They were raised in a Christian home. They put their faith in Christ. But right now, maybe they're out there living a compromised life. If we learn nothing else from the story of Johnny Cash, we read that God gives second chances, and third ones and fourth ones.
Johnny Cash, the redemption of an American icon. A reassuring message for all of us within the fascinating spiritual biography of one of America's most popular entertainers.
Let's tell the faith story of this American icon, Johnny Cash.
Ask for Johnny Cash, the redemption of an American icon. Call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you mentioned our need to come to Christ for forgiveness of sin in today's program.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody listening who'd like to do that, they'd like to take that step. Maybe you could help them with that right now.
I'd be delighted to. Listen, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now, and by that I mean if you would like your sin forgiven and have the assurance that you will go to heaven when you die, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, and I turn from it now, and I put my faith in you to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and my friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer in a minute, I want you to know on the authority of God's word that Jesus Christ has just come to take residence in your heart. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, we want to send you some resources that will help you grow spiritually. So here's Dave with some details. And let me say, God bless you and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and those resources Pastor Greg mentioned are all included in something we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll help you get started in living your life for the Lord. So can we send it to you? Just ask for the New Believers Growth Packet. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go to harvest.org and click the words Know God. Well, next time, more from our series of most requested presentations of the year. Tune in for some practical help with tough questions about the faith. Pastor Greg and Bible scholar Don Stewart address the challenging questions non-believers ask. Next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.